Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Here it is, Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's just me and you and the love that exists amongst us all here. So I'd like to get right to the calls. And first off, this is John. John, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
Good.
All right, here's the situation. I'll make it real quick. I was in a shower, and I was being stimulated with soap. And after the stimulation, I rinsed off and was receiving oral. And once I reached climax,
Hang on, slow down there. What does the soap have to do with all this? Why'd you include that in the story?
At the end of the story, you might understand.
Okay. All right, good. Keep going. So you soaped up, then there was somebody there, and then?
Yeah, she was pleasuring me with hand and soap and all that.
I see.
I rinsed off. Then I was receiving oral from her, and when I orgasmed, she kind of gagged, and I was like, oh, ooh. And then she spit it out and goes, that was urine.
No.
So I felt the orgasming sensation, but it was urine.
No. What makes her think it was urine?
It was very fluidy. It was.
Right. That happens. That's semen. Some people's semen can be absolutely like water. That doesn't mean it's pee.
But I mean, literally when this came out, instead of, I mean, not to get graphic, and you know, when she spit, you know, you could tell when it spit, and you're like, ugh, okay, when she spit, it was very watery and like.
Hey, John, I'll say it again, buddy. The watery semen is not urine. Semen okay. can have the consistency of water. That's not uncommon at all. A urine would have a persistent stream. You would be standing there peeing. It wouldn't shut off with the orgasm. It can't do that. There's a sort of a valve in there that closes off the bladder and opens up the seminal vesicle, and so things come out that from a different location. And it can be very thin, and people can mistake it as urine, but that is absolutely not what it was. I guarantee you that one. Let's go to another call here. Very highbrow stuff tonight. Jeremy, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. I got an interesting story for you. All right.
Okay.
That's all we like on Love Lines, interesting stories. We met twins up in St. Louis, and we took them back to Mount Olive, that's where I live, okay? And we started doing it, and then we were doing it side by side, you know, me and him and the two girls. Well, we start getting into it, and then I just hear him say, all right, I'm done. I'm sorry I didn't eat my Wheaties this morning. My question is, does Wheaties actually make your stamina go longer whenever you're in bed?
No.
Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to know.
Okay, Jeremy.
All right, have a good night.
All right, buddy. Where do I go with that one? That's what we call concrete thinking. When people say something alliterative or sort of reference something or have a metaphor maybe, and the people take it literally. I didn't take my Wheaties meant just, hey, I wasn't up to it tonight. Didn't mean eating Wheaties. If he'd eaten them, would have delayed his, improved his sexual prowess. Lauren, what's up?
Hi. Every time I give my boyfriend head, after he comes, my lips go numb.
Right afterwards, or is that happening sort of during?
Right afterwards.
Do you hyperventilate at all?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get air.
Okay, so it could be the breathing hard. And have you ever had like cold sores, that sort of thing?
No.
You don't get cold sores afterwards?
No,
like,
not
your
at
lips
all.
Don't get irritated or anything?
No.
Well, it's probably. Do you ever noticing in your fingertips anything happening, any numbness or tingling there?
No, it's only in my lips.
All right. How long do you have to do this before he delivers, as it were?
A little while, like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's just the trauma of the area. Don't worry, it doesn't mean anything. Samantha.
Hi. Actually, this is her sister. She got kind of scared.
What's your sister's? What's Samantha's sister's name?
Shauna.
Hi, Shauna. What's going on?
Well, my sister's 17, and her boobs are like really big. and they're double D's and they're like still growing. And she has to get like specialty bras and stuff, but she's considering reduction. But
is she overweight at all?
No, she's actually really skinny.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is she starting to get back problem and neck problem and all kind of stuff?
Well, not quite, but she's getting close.
Yeah.
She has bad posture.
Yeah.
But she wants to get a reduction, but she's a real, like, maternal person. And so she wants to have kids later, and she's worried about, like, regrowth after having the kids and breastfeeding and scarring.
Yeah. Can I talk to her?
She's in the front room. But I'll
come on, Samantha. Is she listening to the radio?
Yeah.
Come on, Samantha. Get back on the phone. Come on. Here we go.
Let me go get her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this. Got her?
Just a second.
All right. Well, don't worry. That's a radio show. We'll just go back way. What do you think of the World Cup game the other day, Gil? You're rooting for Italy? Really interesting.
Hi.
Hi, Samantha. Don't freak out. It's all good. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So your sister was telling me a little bit about what you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And were you starting to get back problems and neck pain and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a little.
Little. And so you're contemplating a reduction, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is typically recommended is you kind of wait till you're a little bit older, because there can be some continued growth even after the reduction, and you end up sort of needing another one, and that's not so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it is something that you could do, and you ought to talk to a surgeon about if you start to have problems with it. Are people mean to you because of how you look?
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of girls your age that feel very ashamed of themselves, and girls start calling them names because they feel sort of threatened by them, and guys won't look them in the eyes anymore, or they're only looking at their chest all the time. You're having to deal with all that?
Yeah, it's fine, thank you.
It's what?
Thanks.
It's what?
Thanks for talking.
Thanks for talking.
Yeah.
All right, but right now I would say just hang in there, wait a little while more. People will stop being so ridiculous and childlike with all this. They will. And you won't feel quite so bad about it. And if you, after 18, maybe even 19, you decide it's something you want to do, there are a lot of good procedures out there, okay?
Love line.
Oh, boy. We've got our screeners on there, too. It's nice. Very nice. Samantha? Samantha? And then they hung up on her. It's great. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Not much. I was in a relationship with a girl. We broke up in February. I went out with her for about 7 months or so, and had a lot of sex, and most of the time it was unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of our relationship, I noticed that there was like a black, it wasn't really, I wouldn't say a discharge, it's kind of a dry something that kind of covers up the hole in my penis. Yeah, I guess you'd call it a discharge. It's not really a liquid, though. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, and I thought it was going to go away.
Could it be like a wart that's got like a sort of a scab on top of it, maybe?
Well, at first what I thought it was like semen coming out in the middle of the night, and then my boxers, like they usually have black boxers on, and I thought it was like lint or something sticking to my semen, but it just keeps happening no matter what kind of underwear I'm wearing. It's just over and... You know, I thought it was going to go away. Sometimes it goes away for a couple of days, and I think it's, you know, and then I'm like, this has got to be some sort of sexually transmitted something.
Well, you worry. Black is typically blood, and that's my concern. So it could be old blood.
Really?
Looks black. Yeah.
Well, that could be true. I never really thought about that. It's very dark, though. It kind of covers up the hole. It doesn't hurt. Nothing hurts.
That definitely needs to be looked at, Matt. It may not even be an STD. It may be something completely unrelated. You worry that it is an STD, and anything that can cause enough irritation to cause bleeding could be an STD. But somebody needs to take a look at exactly what this thing is you're talking about, okay? It's
You haven't really heard of anything like that, though?
No, I've seen things kind of like this, but I'm not entirely clear what you're describing. So that's really why I'm so focused on you getting into somebody to look at it so we can figure out what this is.
All right.
Okay? All right, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Usually blood. Hey, Kimberly.
This is her boyfriend, but she's right here next to me.
Can I talk to her?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Hold on.
Well, a bunch of freaked out folks tonight.
Yeah,
that's scary.
She's kind of freaked out because she's like, I'm her first.
Yeah.
And she's developed a small bump around the bikini area or her line.
Like where her leg, like, hang on, like where her leg joins her abdomen, like her, it joins the body in
a
there.
A little bit higher than that. Like,
hey, what's your name?
My name's Tim.
Yeah. What is it?
Mine's is Tim.
Hey, Tim, you got to make Kim talk to me. I got to talk directly to her, please.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey, Kimberly?
Hello.
Hi there. Sorry, I will not be mean to you. Don't worry. It's okay. So is this thing like in the pubic area or is it sort of where your leg, the crease is where your leg attaches to your body?
Yeah, right there. Kind of a little.
Right there. A little above that. Yeah. The little, yeah, and they're like little, are they about pea-sized, this little bump?
Well, what's that? Sorry.
Is it about the size of a pea?
Of a pea? Yes.
Okay. Those are lymph nodes. They're normal. People 19 should have a little cluster. They should have them all up and down that area. Okay?
It kind of hurts when I lift things up.
Oh. Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
That's nothing to do with
it. If it's getting bigger, though, if it's bigger than a pea-sized, doctor ought to look at it just because there are something called lymphogranuloma venereum that can be big lymph nodes down there. There's something called buboes that can develop in that area. They're from funky STDs that really don't exist in this part of the world particularly. And then lymphomas and things like that. But most young people who are particularly sexually active should have a chain of lymph nodes that are reactive in that area. And they're about, you know, size of a, what would you say that is? About a lima bean size in that area. This is Holly. Holly, what's going on?
Hi. I was just wondering how do I know if I'm bisexual or lesbian?
You guys wonder if you're bisexual or lesbian? Is that the question?
Yeah, it's kind of a cluster of questions. I have never been attracted to the opposite sex, and I was raised, like, that's not right to be homosexual. And I've had friends who are homosexual, and I've just never been attracted to the opposite sex until lately. I've just kind of been noticing, and when I masturbate, the thought of women turns me on more than men. And I've thought about possibly pursuing this. I can't pursue this lifestyle, but would I be considered bisexual? Because I like men, but I've never had an experience with a woman, so I just don't know.
Have you ever had an experience with a man?
Yes.
And how's that?
Well, it's been good. I like it. It's just when I think about it or if I see a porn and I get more turned on seeing the female.
Yeah, a lot of women do that, though, and that doesn't mean that they have sexual intentions for a woman so much. Are you, did anything happen to you growing up? Were you in any way sort of mistreated by men?
Well, no, I wasn't abused or molested or anything like
but
that.
But you hesitated for a second there. But what?
Well, my parents have been divorced a billion times each, and I really haven't had a steady father figure. I mean, that's caused problems, but I don't see how that would relate to just all of a sudden lately I'm attracted to women.
Well, it helps sort of understand the context for these symptoms. And as you've heard me here say before, that if you have an experience that feels chaotic and terrorizing as a childhood, you will be attracted to that kind of thing as an adult, sexually particularly. That's where your drive centers will focus you. If you were sexually abused, magically you'll be driven to be with sexually abusive a-holes. You'll become a stripper and sort of be exploited by other people and be compulsively going down that path. Or if your dad was a narcissistic alcoholic, that's the kind of person magically you're going to be drawn to in your adult life. Now, in this case, all I hear is that you're confused. And understandably, yeah, but having had a family system, that how many times did each of your parents get divorced and remarried?
Three. Well, my dad's been married 4 times. My mom.
Yeah, so your idea of relationships has to be shattered and confused. So naturally enough, your internal sense of trying to create a focus of a relationship is going to be very tumultuous and confused and sort of fragmented because your family was fragmented. And
well, I feel very ashamed for these feelings. I've cried because it freaks me out and I can't have a normal social life. I'll be in the gym and a girl, I can't have girlfriends because a girl will come up and try to talk to me. I'm like, is she hitting on me? Now that I'm more aware of my attraction to women, I'm just all of a sudden aware of this. And now I think women are hitting on me and I can't have friends. And
yeah, they're not, Holly.
Okay. Well,
they're not. It's going on in your head. What, you hope they are?
No, how can I cope? Is this just like a phase, do you think? Or
all I hear is that you're confused. Are you depressed?
Yeah, I'm depressed too.
All right. There's a lot. I mean, are you using drugs or alcohol?
No.
All right. Have you ever had a therapist?
No.
That might be somewhere to turn. The other way would be to get involved in some sort of a community group where you can develop some friends you trust and a common interest. But really, you need stability. You need friends that really care about you. And if you can't form those kinds of relationships, or your depression becoming overwhelming or paralyzing, you're having paranoid thoughts or feelings of worthlessness and guilt, that'd be time to go see somebody and get treated, really, at that point. Hey, Justin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
All right, my girlfriend, we've been together about 5 months, and when we have sex, her lube, I guess you'd call it, it smells, and I know she takes showers and takes care of herself regularly, and I'm wondering, could it be her body that has this scent, or could it be, you know, something else, and what
do you notice it? Do you notice at the point that you guys start having sex, or when you're finished?
Like, during the middle.
Okay. Smell that's troubling from vaginal secretions is usually, or more often than not at least, an infection.
Oh, really?
And so, yes, you need to maybe say, hey, I was listening to Loveline that night, and Drew was talking to this guy, and he was talking about, he was worried about his girlfriend, and she had a smell, he didn't know what it meant, and he was saying get her to a doctor, because it's easily treatable with a cream. There's bacterial vaginosis and or trichomonas. Both of those can cause a funky smell. And you may need to be treated, too, depending on what she's got there.
Oh, okay. But it won't go through a condom or anything like that, will it?
No, not typically. But it is something that she should be treated for, okay? And by the way, everybody, just a little, by word of review, human papillomavirus vaccine. It's being marketed as the cervical cancer vaccine. The reason women get pap smears every year is to detect changes in the surface of the cervix that go on to become cancerous. It's now been proven that those changes are caused by the same virus that causes warts. Now there's a vaccine available to prevent those viral infections. Anybody who's listening to this show should be getting that damn vaccine. Seriously. Now, there are warts that sometimes can still be caused. There's a cream called Aldera that can take care of that. There's some other treatments available if they're way up inside. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to prevent all the warts, but it does mean it's going to prevent the cervical cancer. There's no reason for anyone not to get this vaccine. And there's even some, this is my opinion now, not just formal recommendations, but even if you've had abnormal pap smears caused by HPV, I think even you should get the vaccine because there are four types of the virus. Short of breath talking about this, I get so excited and worked up. There are four subtypes of this virus that can cause the cervical cancer, and there's some evidence that you can get more than one of them. So you're going to want to get the vaccine to protect yourself against the rest. Very good. All right. So saith the Lord. Get that damn vaccine. Christy, what's happening?
Hi. I have like this loop on my vagina, like next to the hole. And I noticed it after having sex. And I'm wondering, like, is that like a birth defect or?
I cannot for the life of me imagine what you're describing. You're going to have to do better than a loop by the hole. I'm sorry.
So it's like a skin loop, and I can pull it out and stick my finger through it.
You mean it's like a septum, like something divides your vagina into two?
Yeah, sort of, except it's more to one side.
Yeah, you can actually have two vaginas, even some people, and you can have two uteruses. You can you can have two systems there. So, have you ever had a pap smear?
Huh? No, I haven't.
All right, it's time to go look at that anatomy and figure out what's going on down there. It's probably just what's called a septum, and they can take care of that. It's no big deal. But I like the way you sort of, comedians would have just a field day with this. But you can actually flip your finger through it and come out the other side?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's talent, Christy. That's talent. And all kidding aside, though, that's something that can be taken care of and could be a little problematic for sex in the future. So are you sexually active?
Yes.
And it doesn't bother you?
Huh?
And it doesn't bother you?
Excuse me, I can't.
It doesn't, other than its novelty effect, it doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't at all.
Okay. Do get past me, though, if you're sexually active. And get the vaccine, all right?
Okay.
HPV vaccine. It's three parts, 0, 2 months, and 6 months. This is Benjamin.
Hey, Dr. Drew?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I want to first start off. You're amazing, dude.
Thank you.
Anyways, about the, I called for the hepatitis B.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, I'm pretty sure that I have it or something, because I tried to donate blood a couple of years back, and they said I had hepatitis B antibodies. So does that mean I have it?
No, it means you had it or you've had the vaccine.
Okay, so can I transmit hepatitis B to other people?
Not just based on the antibodies. You have to have the antigen.
Okay.
So you need to have a doctor do a complete hepatitis panel on you. And if you have hep B, you want to be checked for hep C too. So I doubt you have it. You probably got the vaccine, I bet you.
Okay.
I bet you. All right?
Okay.
All right, take care.
All right, thank you.
Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. One last quick call here from Danica.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi.
Hey, what's going on there?
With you, Dr. Drew.
It's my pleasure. How are things out in Dayton?
Rainy and wet. Just had tornadoes all over the place today, but otherwise pretty good.
Yeah, I can't imagine how weird that sounds sitting in Southern California.
Yeah. I just recently discovered somebody I know is into the adult baby sex fetish where they get dressed up in diapers.
Tell me something. Hang on a second. Tell me, what is this guy like? Is it a guy?
Yeah, it's a guy.
It's always a guy. This one's always a guy, by the way. This is not, the girl, women have the at least decency not to do this one. And so what kind of guy is he?
He's real sweet, kind of quiet, intelligent, well-spoken, and it just blew me out of the water when I figured out he was into this. I mean,
is he a very dependent person in his relationships? Just out of curiosity.
I couldn't say. I haven't, you know, been close enough to any of his girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, to understand his relationship structure. I was just curious as to what would drive a person to that.
I don't know. If you sort of follow my reasoning on many of these sort of fetishistic behaviors, something gets people stuck, and it's usually some kind of trauma that something happens that sort of shatters their ability to regulate, and whatever that moment is wires in something that later becomes a source of attraction. There's different degrees of fetish too. There's people that have to have it in order to function sexually, which is a true fetish, and there are people that have sort of fetishistic kinds of preoccupations, which I suspect this more is. But this is a weird one, and it's one that troubles me. And people don't often admit to it, so I don't get really to hear about it or sort of pick up the patterns on this one very much. I know it's out there, and I know it's carefully hidden when people do it. And it seems to me, now just Danica, just bear with me on this and see if you agree with me. At very minimum, it would be terribly disruptive to relationships. I mean, imagine you're dating a guy and all of a sudden he goes, I got to tell you something, in order for me to really get off, this is what I need to do. That seems like it would not be a good thing for relationships, doesn't it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it would take you a million miles away from the reality of the intimacy.
Yeah, it creeped me out pretty bad when I figured this out. I was like, whoa, you know, I just took a step back and then...
Could you admit to this guy that you know about this?
I haven't said anything directly yet. He hinted at it. I looked it up and I couldn't figure it out, so I thought, you know, you're the respected knowledgeable.
I would love it if you to talk to him a little bit and see if you pick up anything that sort of set this up, if he's talked to him about it. And they can get really into this too, where they're pooping themselves and all kinds of weird stuff, so it gets very weird.
That's weird. So
all right, well, see what you can find out and call me back. Okay,
all right, thank you so much.
Great. Again, that phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. I'm here with you guys tonight by myself, so please give us some more of your interesting calls. One more time, that phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I love just chatting with you guys. Bring up anything you want. We'll get into it here. Be right back.
Love Line.
Okay, wait. My hair.
We'll be right back.
Here we go. It's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Call's been pretty interesting tonight. Let's keep it going with Cassie. Cassie, what's happened there?
Hi. I actually have two questions. My first question is, I've been sleepwalking ever since I was little. And when I was in high school, I used one of those little babies that cry at night and everything. And I would sleepwalk with it and drag it around. And now I'm expecting, and I actually have maybe these due in about 3 months. And I'm wondering, am I going to do that again?
Help me understand let me understand the business with the baby doll. Why did you have that?
A family project.
I see. You were being given a doll to convince you not to get pregnant, so you went ahead and got pregnant.
I'm married.
Right. Okay. yeah. And so you were, like, how old were you when you had that?
I was about 16.
Okay. Yeah, it could happen again. Have you been sleepwalking lately?
Not really, from what my husband says. I don't sleepwalk very often anymore, but I was with him then, too. And I walked out with the baby.
Anything other than sleepwalking you do during your sleep? Any sleep terrors or any other funny business?
I have nightmares still.
Do you have hallucinations at night where you sort of think things are happening, or maybe you get frozen, you feel frozen, you can't move, feel like somebody's lying on top of you?
Not really. I just have nightmares a lot.
Okay. Well, was your household very chaotic at night when you were growing up?
Yes.
Yeah. Were you abused at night?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Have you ever been treated for that?
To a point, but I self-treated myself to get over it because counselors weren't doing anything for me.
There really is, unfortunately, no such thing as treating yourself or stuff like that. Okay. There certainly is acting as if you are healthy and keeping good relationships in your life and making good choices and that kind of thing. But the deeper effects are something that really need to be sort of surgically dealt with by someone very highly trained. You're about to be a mom. Those residual effects are going to be transmitted to your kid if you don't get those treated. Why don't you go see someone, and you can also be there, sort of have somebody monitoring the sleep issue. There may be some medication that can help with that, believe it or not. You're going to be sleep deprived. You're going to be a mom. You're going to be stressed. The sleep disorder is likely to get worse, and as are some of the consequences of having been abused. So let's get somebody, a professional, involved in this to help for the baby, just for the baby's sake, if not for your own. Okay?
Okay, and my other question was, I have never, ever been into anal sex before, ever, until I got pregnant, and my vagina's extremely swollen all the time, so it hurts to have vaginal sex, and I've actually really started getting turned on by anal, and I'm wondering if that's, like, normal, is it healthy, I mean...
It's understandable, it isn't routine, it doesn't mean anything bad. Provided you're not having any complications in your pregnancy, all right?
Yeah, I'm not having any complications.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Good times. Let's stay with the pregnancy topic. This is Sarah. What's up, Sarah?
So I noticed probably within the past 2 or 3 weeks, I'm about 7.5 months pregnant now, that when I masturbate, I've had Braxton Hicks contractions.
Mm-hmm. Just let's tell everybody what those are.
They're self-contractions.
They feel like labor.
It means that the uterus is contracting, but there's no pain.
It's not labor.
Right.
You have twins or singlet?
Single.
Okay.
But it's only happening when I masturbate. When I have sex, it doesn't happen.
Oh, do you have orgasms with sex?
Yeah.
One of God's many tricks on humanity is that women in third trimester of pregnancy, that is the final phase, is get very sexually aroused and you're more easy to have orgasm and that kind of stuff. Sarah's confirming that. All right, do you have multiple orgasms now?
I always did.
Mm-hmm.
With certain things. I mean, I can have an orgasm with intercourse, but I usually only have one or two that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like oral or something like that, like lately it's just been like, I can get up to like 13.
Congratulations. Or mazel tov, as your people say. So, all right. I would talk to your obstetrician about it, though. It's not uncommon, but just to make sure that he's okay with it, he or she. Because late in the pregnancy, they sometimes will hold you off on the sexual activity, particularly with the orgasm.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, but you don't think it's like I don't know, like it's not going to like cause labor or anything?
It can. I would check with your obstetrician. Yeah, it can be a problem, but it typically isn't. So I would check with your obstetrician about it, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Allie?
Hi.
Hey there, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Allie, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. I had a question about the HPV virus or whatever. I've had it since I was 16, and I actually got cervical cancer when I was 17.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. So my question was, like, is there anything I can do to prevent getting, you know, like, the abnormal paps or cervical cancer again, other than, you know, getting my annual paps and trying to stay healthy, or?
Well, the simple answer is no, that you have to keep getting the very diligent and regular screening, that you are at risk for recurrences, and that probably, you know, you'll need more freezing and all the stuff that they do, the colposcopies and whatnot, biopsies. Right. But there is some school of thought, and again, this is opinion, this is not yet recommendation, that even somebody like you should get the vaccine because there are other types of the virus out there. And what's also not been studied is whether or not the vaccine will cause any kind of benefit to people that have the more aggressive viruses like you do have. Maybe it'll help your immune system fight it or something. At very minimum, it would protect you against the other types. Okay. And then certainly you want any of your partners to have had the vaccine so they don't contract this particular one, because you know you've got the one that causes cervical cancer.
Right.
All right?
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. This is Olivia.
Hi. I found out I might have HPV.
Mm-hmm.
And I've chosen to now become, or not have sex until I'm married. And I'm just wondering, at what point in my next relationship should I tell this person that, you know, I might put them at risk or whatever?
Do you understand how many people have HPV?
Yeah, but...
What's the number?
I'm sorry?
You live in Phoenix. How many people 19 think have HPV in your area?
I'm not too sure, but I mean, I know it's like a good 3/4 of the people or something like that.
Right, it's everybody. It's basically everybody. Right. And that now maybe what you tell your partner is get the vaccine so it's not an issue.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you.
I think it's an important thing. All right. And then otherwise, and if you need to get the more regular pap smears, and we don't know yet whether you have the kind that's significant and that it would cause cervical cancer or not. And the ones that stick around, like our last caller had been around for 4 years with the virus and had cervical cancer, that's a classic story of the kind that does cause the, obviously, the more serious consequences. Jesse.
Yes.
Hey there, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering about my boyfriend. I guess it kind of seems to me like it's kind of a fetish or something. We've been together for like 3 years, and we plan on getting married and everything, but he tells me he loves me and all this crap, but he still cheats on me, and now it's to the point where I just let him do it. I'd rather know about it than him go around behind my back doing it, but he's got this thing where he just likes doing younger girls. I'm a year younger than him, but he's 19, and he likes doing girls like between 13 and 15.
So he's a criminal. not funny. He's a criminal. And guys like this typically don't, as they age, their target population doesn't age with them. A heroin addict. They'll switch to pot. No big deal. Are you kidding, Jesse? What makes you think this is okay, or what kind of father did you have that you would want to hang around a guy like this?
Well, I'm just, like, really in love with the boy.
No, not an acceptable answer on Loveline, I'm afraid. What was your dad like that you would think it's okay to hang around a guy like this? Did you even have a dad?
My dad, up until I was 16, he was, like, it was just verbal abuse, kind of. And then for the next 3 years after 16, it was kind of violent because my mom left him, and he just kind of became violent, started drinking.
Yeah, so he's an abusive, physically abusive, mentally abusive alcoholic. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had a little fixin' for young kids, too. Jesse.
So he won't quit?
Did your dad do stuff with kids, too? Did he come out to your friends or anything when you were 14, 15?
Not my dad, but, well, within the past 3 years, occasionally I'll have some younger friends over, and he'll be drinking, and they get a little weirded out by him.
Yeah, you see, so that's where you develop the sense, the repertoire for guys like this from dear old dad. Except you've even refined it with this guy. This guy's got it down to a real science. He's perfected it at 19 already. And this is an idiot. Please, Jesse, please. If you have kids, can you imagine what will happen to them? Can we stop this cycle? Can we stop it, please?
Yeah, I don't want it to go on, but
Jesse,
I'm having
Jesse?
His baby. I mean, I can't just get rid of him.
Are you for real?
Yes. I'm 4 months long.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because you're stuck.
Yeah, I want to stay with him, but I just want him to quit.
Yeah, I know what you want, what you wish. You also want your dad not to be an abusive alcoholic, but that's not going to change. Oh, Jesse. Are there any social services, anything you can call upon to kind of help you out with the childbearing and child raising?
I got really good friends and some family that has
keep them, all right, keep them very close. And you know what? If you want him to stop, encourage those girls to call the police or to document what he's doing. After he's had sex with them, just march him on down to an emergency room and have him file a report. It might.
That is the girls. The girls that he's doing, those are the young girls that are into the older guys and stuff. Like, I mean,
I know they're sick too. I know they're troubled also. But, you know, if the legal system can, if he can't restrain himself, perhaps the legal system can help him out a bit. Oh, my. That will bring the country to its knees. That will do it. Did you get a couple hundred thousand Jessies? Except we got a few million in this country. We do. And poor Jessie suffers. It's not like Jessie's happy about this. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's that abusive dad. Come on, man. Do it. That's good. Just keep working on your daughters like that. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. Just watch what your daughters do then. It's just a lovely cycle. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, we got a couple interesting things here. We got a guy whose therapist is coming on to him. We got Amber, who's very sexually active and wants to know how to tone it down. We'll hear more from her after this.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
Here we are back with more Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. 191. Interesting calls tonight. Very, very interesting. I appreciate them all. This is Amber.
Hello?
Hey Amber, what's happening?
I kind of have a problem. I mean, I like to have sex a lot, and it's not exactly the best thing. I'm trying to tone it down because I go to church and, you know, and I'm help with the youth group, and it's like I'm living a double life, you know, and I don't know how to get this out of my brain, you know?
Well, what is happening? Are you with multiple partners or the same guy?
Multiple.
How often are you doing this?
Pretty much every day. Well, actually, lately it's just been about once a week. I'm really trying to tone it down, but then I'm always thinking about it, you know. And I feel bad because, you know, I'm telling these young kids, I'm telling them, hey, you know, you gotta wait, and then I'm just doing the totally wrong thing. And
where do you find these guys?
Just people. Like, I'll meet at clubs, or I'll just, you know, be talking to someone online, and I'll meet them somewhere, and I know it's wrong, but I can't.
Well, stop using a word like wrong. It's dangerous. You're meeting somebody you don't know online, and then going to some spot, and then just agreeing to have sex before you get there, or how does that work?
No, we'll say, oh, let's meet up sometime, and then it just usually we end up doing that, you know.
How dangerous! Wow.
That way, and I feel bad. I don't.
All right, let's go through the basics. Are you on birth control?
No.
Are you pregnant?
No.
How do you avoid that?
It has them wear a condom, you know.
Okay, so you protect yourself against STDs that way.
Yeah.
Do you have a morning after pill available in case the condoms break?
No.
All right, so that's something you should do. You got to get that HPV vaccine I've been talking about all night, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you get pap smears regularly?
No.
Okay, so you may already have something serious. So we got to take care of that. Just to keep you alive, yes?
Yeah.
All right, then we got to figure out why you're doing this. Is there bipolar in your family? Bipolar disorder, manic depression?
I think so. I know my brother just killed himself, and he was bipolar.
Nice. Have you been addicted to anything in the past?
Alcohol, I guess.
All right. And did your brother's death sort of trigger this all off in some way?
Yeah, in a bit. I kind of have a messed up past, but I'm trying to get over it, you know?
Well, no, you're not acting it out. You're not doing anything except acting it out. So clearly whatever you're doing has not had any impact on what's going on with you emotionally. What is the messed up past? What happened?
Well, I was in the foster system, and know, and my foster parents were abusive. And my real parents were abusive.
Physically abusive? Sexually abusive? Both. All the above? All the above.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's a heavy, heavy burden. Have you ever thought about, you said you were an alcoholic, you thought about going to 12-step?
Yeah, I've done that. I've been doing good. I haven't drank for a year now.
I'm not saying don't drink.
Instead.
Right, it's the same thing, Amber. It's the same thing. You got the biology of addiction or the genetics of addiction, and you add sexual abuse to that, you get what you've got here. Now, have you ever thought about going to 12-step?
I've been before.
Can't hear her. What's that?
No, I've been before, but it's just
how far did you get in your step work?
About a month.
How far did you get in your step? You never did any step work.
No.
Okay.
It's where you could get more drugs, more something.
Amber, yes. go to AA, get a sponsor, and start doing steps. Either that, or you've got to get a psychiatrist and a therapist and start doing some work. But I think that'd be terribly expensive for you. 12-step, it's free, and it has a dramatic impact on the behaviors you're involving yourself in. You're calling me and asking for help. This is what works. Don't argue with me about it, okay?
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
We can't hear her. What was that you said? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Go. Just call up AA. They'll come pick you up. If you can, go to SA meeting, because that's how we use 12-step to treat sexual compulsion. We don't use much else. There's not a lot of else that really works. Sometimes some medication is helpful. Sometimes individual therapy can be useful. But 12-step is free. You've got to get the sponsor. You've got to raise your hand and say, I need a sponsor, and begin step work with that sponsor. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Or else, this is not only not going to change, it's going to get worse. And it's going to lead you back to drugs and alcohol. And to some very, very horrible things. I have a crystal ball, you know, I pulled out again tonight. I don't see good things, Amber. So please do that, okay?
Yes.
All right. My goodness. We'll see. Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. Good. What's up?
Hey, I just had a quick, actually kind of complex question to ask you. I was seeing a therapist who was kind of a transpersonal existential orientation from about 10th grade for a learning disability. And I started seeing her when my parents got separated about 6 months after that. And we developed a relationship in the therapeutic context for about a year and a half. And then after that, she invited me to her house for kind of a meditation group, I guess you could say, to continue the therapeutic kind of relationship. And at that point, she kind of started putting some sexual advances on me.
What happened?
Exactly what happened at that point. She started walking me out to my car, and one time she gave me a real sexual hug and then kind of Frenched me on my neck. She started serving me alcohol. I was only 18 at the time.
Okay, right then you need to make a report to the state. Right
okay.
Then.
Even though she's not associated with, like, the APA or anything?
If she's licensed, you have to make a report to the state.
Make a report to the state.
Yeah, if she's not licensed, you got to run like hell.
I did run like hell. I started seeing a new therapist about 7 months ago, I want to say.
Good.
And I've kind of worked through it. It's still bothering me a little bit.
I'm sure. Yeah. Hey, generally, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with a therapist, with somebody who's sort of doing mental health work or who makes you feel good and gratifies you, that's the wrong person to be with.
Right,
Therapists are supposed to be quiet, challenging, frustrating, setting limits, demanding things from you that you would not otherwise do, because why else go? You go to somebody who supports you and gratifies you. That may feel good. It's not why you're going to therapist. You're not going to therapy to feel good, unfortunately. It usually feels like hell, and that's how the work gets done. Otherwise, you do it yourself. Or you get a nice supportive friend.
And it was in the beginning, but then it turned into a completely different thing. So, what happens when I do file a report?
It depends on how there may be investigation, and probably nothing will happen because it'd be hard to prove it.
Right.
But at least it'll be there if next time something happens.
Okay, and I heard it's not anonymous.
Not typically. In fact, typically they have to respond to the specific allegations.
Okay.
And
then right now, would I just continue seeing my cognitive?
Yeah, and listen to that therapist and what they think you should do, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Dr.
Bye. One last quick call here before the break. This is Brian.
Yeah, hi.
What's up?
I have a question. I've been with my girlfriend for about 6 months now, and we seem to be messing around. And when we're in the shower, I don't know, she, likes to touch my anal region, and I kind of like it. I don't know. Does that make me gay? Or
No. Makes you like.
It kind of turns it out, but I'm not sure if I shut her off or not, you know?
She likes doing it. You like having it done. What's the problem?
I do like having it done. That's
okay.
What the problem is, and I'm not sure what I should do.
I don't understand the problem. It's some guys like that. Most guys don't. Women read about that in Cosmo and try that. Most of them will get a roundhouse. But she had paid her with you, Brian, and that's fine. Enjoy. Whatever. That's, you know, it doesn't mean anything. You know what it means? You know how you can tell if you're gay? When it means you're gay? When you're having sex with a male and you're a male yourself. That's how you know you're gay. All right, I'll take a break. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. This is Loveline, and we'll return after this.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Back with more Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going right away to Kathy. Kathy?
Hello?
Hey there.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Kathy.
Okay, my question is, after I orgasm when I have sex, or anytime, I feel like I have to throw up, and sometimes I have.
Yeesh. Do you masturbate ever?
Yeah.
Does that make you react in the same fashion?
Yeah.
Every time.
Well, it's only when it's really, really good.
When you have a big orgasm.
Yeah, like a really long one.
And by long one, you're not multi-orgasmic, you mean a one long one.
No, I have multiple orgasms, but I don't have multiple long ones. But when I do have a really long one, that's when I feel sick.
Oh, that's interesting. We're going to have to kind of sort this out a little bit more. Are you someone that will orgasm until exhaustion? Is that how you know when you're done?
Yeah.
And is that the point at which you feel like vomiting?
No, it's only it's the only time it ever happens if it's a really long orgasm.
Yeah, I know you keep saying that. Do you get headaches or anything like that with this?
Yeah.
You get headaches also?
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's triggering a migraine? Possible?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Are there migraines in your family?
No, but about a year ago, I went on the depo shot, and I got migraines from that, and I had to stop taking it.
Interesting. So maybe there's some migraineous phenomenon here. Are you on any medication right now?
No.
Are you otherwise normal, healthy, no medical problems?
Yeah.
And again, this nausea and gagging, is there any other quality to it? Do you get a headache and then feel? Do you get dizzy and feel nauseated? Do you feel acid in your stomach or reflux and feel like vomiting?
No, it's just right after I orgasm, my stomach feels kind of like nauseated. And then I'll get up and go to the bathroom and throw up sometimes. And then right after that, then I'll have kind of a headache. But it's not a real bad headache.
And are you having any kind of an emotional reaction where you're disgusted or anything?
No.
Okay, so this is some physical response to the excessive, you know, this is, I guess, the liability of being sort of wired like you are. Women that orgasm to exhaustion sometimes will sort of overdo it. And I think that's what's happening here.
Really?
Just maybe too rough or too, maybe I kind of take it down easy a little bit, take it down a notch.
Oh.
Is that possible? I mean, your body's kind of reacting in a visceral fashion to this. It's sort of overstimulated.
Yeah, well. Usually when it is good, it's kind of rough.
Yeah, I think just overdoing a little bit. Because you can hit some organs and you can stir up your viscera a bit. And there can be a visceral reaction like nausea or vomiting. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, take it easy. Sheesh. God bless her, though. Danielle.
Yes?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi. I recently just got engaged. And I'm not over my ex-boyfriend. I'm still, like, in love with him. And when we were together, he was kind of abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. I've tried, you know, just not responding to his text messages and stuff, but it's not working.
What do you mean it's not working?
I've changed my phone number, and he gets my phone number. Like, I can't avoid him.
Well, you could. If you despised him, you would. It'd be no problem. But the fact is, you're sort of tantalized by him.
Yeah. So I'm going into a new relationship. You know, we've been together for a while. We live together, you know. And I want to, you know, give this relationship everything. And it's really hard when I'm still in love with my ex and I don't know what to do. I don't want to be in love with him. I want nothing to do with him. But I don't know.
How long ago was this an ex?
January. But we knew each other all throughout high school, and we dated on and off, and we lived together for a little bit. And
why the rush to live with these guys? You're 18.
I have a military father.
So they're not around, and you just abandon ship and set up shop with somebody?
As soon as I turned 18, I moved out because he drove me insane.
Wow. Where's your mom?
My mom lives with him. He's my stepdad, and, you know, he's a total butthole to me.
Where's your very poetic? Where is your biological father?
I don't know.
And he was a butthole too, I imagine.
I don't even know him.
So the buttholes are particularly attractive to you, like this butthole guy that you can't seem to break the spell from.
Yeah.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody today who was sort of in this similar kind of a cycle. And as I see it, there are really only two things you can do with this kind of situation. One is go get a bunch of therapy so you're not so attractive or tantalized by these abusive a-holes, unavailable a-holes, because that's what dad was, and that's not what you've got to fix. And that's what you're sort of attracted to now.
Yeah.
A. B is to learn to read your responses to people. If you're super attracted to a guy, you know that's going to be an abusive, abandoning a-hole. So you got to find some guy that's nice, who you expect kindness from, but who's got you're kind of attracted to. Not super attracted to, kind of attracted to. Because so he can have a little bit of that a-hole in him, but not enough that it will disrupt the relationship or really be acted out. So the guys you're super attracted to, you got to stay away from.
Yeah, my mom put me through therapy for a little bit, but the lady, every time I went, she made me feel worse and worse about myself.
As I said earlier, therapy is painful and miserable and shouldn't feel good to be effective. So if you want to get better, I mean, it's like taking shots. You got or taking medication. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. Or exercising even. You've got to do these things that you wouldn't do by yourself. Somebody's got to push on the right spots to really urge you into growth. And that's hard. Now, you cannot do that. And you can, again, as I said, read your relationship, read your reaction to people, and find some guy that you're kind of into who's nice, but not that into. I think this isn't that guy. That's part of the problem here. This is just a nice guy you're with now.
Yeah, he's too nice.
Right, he's just a nice guy. And just a nice guy, you're going to sabotage and ruin the relationship, and that's what you're doing here.
Yeah.
So you need somebody in between the a-hole that's pursuing you and the guy you're with right now.
Okay, like meeting in the middle, kind of.
Not meeting in the middle, a guy that's in between these two. A guy that's not too nice, but certainly not like this guy that's pursuing you, okay? But do not go after this guy. Do not go back to that guy. You need 6 months of total abstinence from him, just like breaking any other drug or compulsion. Marcel?
Hello?
Hey there.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I'm dating for about a year, and probably about 4 or 5 months ago, he told me that he exchanged oral sex with another male when he was, I think, about 12, 13, around that age.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. So he told me this out of the blue one day. And then I asked him a question. I asked if it happened with more than one male. And he said yes. It happened with two different guys.
At the same age?
Yeah.
At the same time?
What?
At the same time? Or a different episode?
Different episodes.
So again, when he was 13, a different guy.
I'm sure
I love these guys too. And it, well, you know, it's every 13-year-old, it's just what we did. It's just what guys do. What's the big deal? Right? He sell it to you like that?
What?
Did he sell it to you like that? Like, what's the big deal? It's just 13-year-olds do that kind of stuff. Why are you freaked out?
He just like said it out of the blue, and it freaked me out. I mean, because he seemed such like a, I would never expect this from him.
Yeah.
But, so now, like, he's been to jail, actually, and the problem with me is that for drugs.
Yeah.
But the problem is with me is that I'll start to ask questions, and I'll bring it up, like, not about that episode or that thing, but I'll say, did someone touch you in jail? Like, I'll go on, because I want to know if he's gay, and I've asked him before. He's bisexual, he's attracted to males. He says no, but I just, my question was, how common is this?
Very common in people that get bad addiction. Not that he was acting out sexually, but that he was sexually abused. Either at that point, that was an older male that did that to him, or maybe something happened when he was even younger, and this was just part of that whole chaos. What?
How would you bring, like, how would you ask that question? Because I actually have asked, after that, I sat down and I asked him tons of questions. My mom said, leave him alone, you know?
Here's what you got to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to Al-Anon. And then he needs to go to a program, and he's to be treated. He will not get better without very thorough treatment. And in his fourth step, and in his first step, too, he needs to talk about this stuff with his peers. He needs to get a sponsor.
He's not into that at all. He doesn't.
Well, then he's going to keep using. And then the use is fueled by this abuse and chaos. Until he's ready to talk about this and get sober, this is going to be a disaster.
Okay, so, but this isn't going on. This happened. I'm 21 now. He's 22. This happened a while ago.
Marcel.
So this isn't going on still.
I'm talking about his addiction.
Okay.
He's a severe addict, and it's fueling his addiction. It's not, his addiction is going to get worse until such a time and he's willing to treat that, stay sober, and begin talking about these traumas he had when he was a kid. It is a feature. I was in my drug unit now, virtually, well, I'd say 95% of my patients fit what you're describing here. They get sexually abused by somebody when they're young. Addiction kicks in later adolescence, and it just fuels it. Okay? He needs to, as part of the overall, this is a piece of an overall syndrome. The sexual abuse by an older male, undoubtedly, or another kid who had been abused by an older male, is what is affecting him now, and it's interfacing with his addictive process. They both need to be treated simultaneously.
Okay.
Okay, now, by the way, in treatment, just by way of explanation, we would first be focusing on being sober. What's he, a speed addict or something? Opiates?
No, I've been to rehab myself, but he's not actually, he just smokes, you know, weed, so he's not.
What do you go to jail for?
Selling.
Selling weed?
Yeah.
All right, so he's got to be ready to get sober. And
nothing happened in jail,
Marcel, I'm not talking about jail, please.
Okay.
I'm not talking about anything except the fact that he's an addict who had sexual abuse. That's all I need to know.
Okay.
What happened in jail is just going to add to the craziness and add to the pain and add to the misery and add to the defensiveness and add to the amount of drugs he does to deal with the overwhelming feelings he has. He needs to get sober first. Then somewhere down the line in his fourth and fifth step, he begin dealing with this stuff more explicitly. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. My gosh. This is Melissa.
Hi. I've been having sex with my boyfriend for 2 years, and every time I bleed a little bit.
That's good.
It's good?
That's fine. Provided that you've had pap smears and are sure there's nothing serious going on there. Have you been checked?
Yeah, I have one every year.
There you go. It's normal for people to bleed after sex. Some women do that every single time.
Is it normal for it to still hurt after 2 years?
What hurts?
Just the entry.
That has nothing to do with what's bleeding.
Okay.
Nothing whatsoever. That's the pain at penetration is due to this spasm of the muscles in the pelvic floor. I would suggest you go online and look up vaginismus. There's a bunch of stuff on that online.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
There you go. All right, take care. And get the pelvic HPV vaccine, please. This is Liz.
Yes.
Hey, Liz.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hey, Dr.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, so I'm calling because I recently found out that my kind of cheated on my mom.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of cheat on my boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering if cheating is something that could be hereditary.
Not really so much as, I'll tell you the pattern of people like you that I see is that you become so convinced that your boyfriends are going to cheat that you cheat first.
Right, yeah, and that is kind of how I feel.
Okay. So that's the deal. That's because you were around a cheater all the time. You sensed that. It made you feel insecure. You expect that from men. So damn it, you're going to make sure no one catches you off your guard. You're going to cheat first and ruin the relationships and not get close and not be vulnerable. Good. Good sure. job. You did it. You mission accomplished. Liz did it. In the meantime, you don't get to have any relationships. It's good times. So, why don't we look at that and go ahead and stop?
Yeah, that's when
you can stop. That's not like acting out compulsive. It's not like our foster child earlier who couldn't stop sexually acting out. This one right. is a little bit more conscious, a little easier to deal with.
Yeah, and the thing is too, though. I mean, there's been other things in my past where I've been raped in my past, and I don't know. There's just so many things, and when I've been with my same boyfriend, I've been with for a long, long time, years and years, like close to 7 years, and.
Yeah, but he's a nice safe haven while you go and screw around. And, you know, again, you're never ever really close to him. You're always just having these little soirees with other people, and he's just kind of there. Nice anchor for you.
Right. And I feel bad now. At this point, I feel bad because we're engaged, and I actually do feel bad now. But at the same point, I'm kind of like, well, if I leave him, then where do I go from there? I've been with him for so long that just. It scares me to think of even being without him.
Yeah, and some of that is rational, some of it. But more than anything, I mean, people in their 20s treat each other like crap, let's face it. And then they decide to commit themselves to a relationship, and they have a relationship. I just don't know if you're ready to have a relationship yet.
Right, and I mean, at times I think I am. A lot of the time I think I am, but then there's those moments where I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm 21, well, and I shouldn't be in a relationship. And he's 5 years older than me, so... No, actually, he's got older than that. He's about 6 years older than me, so... He is in that point where he wants to be settled down and mm-hmm. do that kind of thing, but I don't necessarily know if I am.
I understand. You got to think this through. I have no words of wisdom other than to say, you know, you're thinking it through clearly. You should keep thinking about it. And 21 is awfully young to get married. You look at the data on 21-year-old marriages; it ain't good.
Right. Yeah, and that's the point that scares me too, because I know that. Being with someone for so long that it's unlikely it's going to be there forever.
Well, it's more that you're already screwing it up. It's hard to come back from that. Yeah. And what you said, all these horrible things happened to you. What else happened to you?
Well, I was raped when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not necessarily abused. Well, yeah, I guess I was abused. I was hit by boyfriends in the past. When I was really, really young, when I was like 14. Well, I was like 13 or something.
How about before that? Anything when you were a kid?
Not that I remember. Not anything. Like, my parents were abusing my dad. My dad was always like a superhero in my eyes. Never anything. My family was always great and no problems there.
All right. All right, Liz, think about it. You're thinking kind of clearly about it. Keep trying to figure it out. Tony, what's happening?
I'm 25. I'm 25. I live in Arizona, and I was just wondering if you can maybe perhaps tell me a couple of treatment centers that are good for meth addiction, and maybe if there's some that are on the biblical sense, if you know what I mean. I know those aren't too hard.
You need, look, you can always entrench yourself in your theological or religious orientation, but first you have a disease that needs to be treated. Get that treated first. I would go to Sierra Tucson or the Meadows.
Okay, Sierra Tucson or the Meadows. Have you heard of the Amity House?
No, but there's a lot of good treatment centers in Arizona.
The Meadows,
really
though, right?
Yeah.
That's what I was looking into. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And this is interesting. Hey, Jason, what's happening?
Not much. How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
My girlfriend and I will be, you know, like, having foreplay, and we'll just be playing around. And she likes my toes on her.
Turn your radio down, will you, please? Turn your radio down or off.
Yeah, it's off.
Okay.
She likes me to like play with her clit with my toes. And
what is it about your toes that she finds so appealing?
I don't know. She likes to suck them, and she's always rubbing my feet.
So a woman with a foot fetish. That's weird. That's unusual. Okay.
You know, after having her want me to do this to her often, like I had a case of athlete's foot, and I was using, you know, medication for my feet and whatnot. She started itching afterwards, and
got a little fast acting tenactin there for her.
Well, I don't know what would be good.
I'm just
thinking
of the John Madden commercials that come out of this just too much. All right. What would be good for that? You didn't give her. You did not give her athlete's crotch. You didn't do it. What's okay. What's she experiencing?
Well, just like a dry rash on the outside of her lips now.
Huh.
Yeah, like dry, flaky skin, and it only occurred after her having me do this to her.
Because you could, I suppose you certain, well, if you, maybe you didn't have athlete's foot, you had some other fungus, you could get it into the sort of the crease there in the skin. It's a skin rash, really.
Okay.
You could try Lotrimin cream or Lotrizone if they have it over the counter.
Okay.
And if not, somebody needs to look at that and see what exactly what she's got there.
Okay. And right. I had one other quick question. She was talking about, I mean, I'm like an average size male, like, you know, 5-6 inches or so. She wants bigger. And she was talking about, like, the pills, Enzyte for...
No, no. There's only one way you can enlarge things, and that's a pretty intense surgery.
Okay.
Where I described it last night, where they peel the skin of the penis down and then sew in what looks like a sort of a Pop-Tart of cadaver tissue. And that gives you, and then they pull the skin back up over it and sew it in. That gives you about an inch of girth. And another procedure, it's at the same surgery where they dig in above your pubic bone and release or cut the ligament that holds the tendon that holds the penis against the pubic bone and pull it out about an inch. You get an inch of growth and an inch of length and an inch of girth from that procedure. But that's about it. And that's funny. You know, we were talking to Stormy a couple nights ago, one of these porn stars, and she was saying that she definitely did not like big and that most girls did not like big and that 6 inches was just about average and good for most women. But then there are some women that upset the whole curve. And it sounds like, Jason, you've got a girlfriend that is into them for whatever reason. Samantha.
Hi. I'm calling from... outside of Sacramento.
Nice.
I'm 21 and my boyfriend is 25.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we have sex or even start to have sex or even when he masturbates, he gets a sharp shooting pain in the back of his neck.
Mm-hmm.
It goes all the way up into his head, into his eyes, and he starts shaking. Yes. And it starts blurring his vision, and we have absolutely no idea what it could be.
And why hasn't he seen a neurologist?
He doesn't have insurance. And
can you go to the county hospital and get checked?
We went to the hospital that's here close to us, and we were in there for like 4 or 5 hours, and by that time the pain had stopped, and he hates hospitals. Trying to get him into a hospital is just almost impossible.
Well, has this been his whole life or just recently?
It probably started about a week and a half ago.
He absolutely needs to be checked.
Okay.
This isn't screwing around. There can be aneurysms. It can be all kinds of very serious things. There is a simple post-orgasm headache, but that's post-orgasm usually.
Yeah.
And it's something that people have pretty much chronically. You can also have triggered migraines, but again, that's somebody with migraines and usually post-orgasm. And this is something that with sexual stimulation, just the biology of arousal causing that kind of pain associated with neurological symptomatologies, That needs to see a neurologist. He really does, Samantha. I would not screw around with that, okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Oof, jeesh. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Dr. Drew. I want to just take a quick look at Liz here, and then we'll go to break. Liz?
Hey, how are you doing?
We're good. What's happening?
Nothing. So I've been dating this guy. Well, I mean, I've been kind of with him for like, I don't know, I want to say a year or so, but mm-hmm. we've only been sexually active for like 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks dirty to me. Like he said, girlfriends in the past, he talks dirty too.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't talk dirty back to him. Like I just can't. And I've only had one sexual partner before him.
And your question is, why can't I?
Yeah, I mean, like, my partner before him was, like, really, like, wouldn't talk like that, but I guess I'm not used to him, and his partners before were talking dirty back to him. Like, he'll even ask me questions and stuff, and I can't respond.
Okay. Hold on. We got to take a break, okay?
Okay.
All right. Just sit tight. We're going to get to all this. We're going to find out what he wants her to say and how he asked her to say. What is it? What the question is he asked her? And what's up with this guy and why she has trouble expressing herself, which, by the way, not abnormal. Nothing wrong with that. Phone number, once again, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. We'll take your calls right here after this.
Love Line. How do you want me to say it?
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line. We're We're back with more Loveline. Phone number one more time is 1-800-LOVE-191. We were talking to Liz. Liz, are you in the state of Washington or Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Okay. And your boyfriend wants you to talk dirty to him. His previous girlfriends have talked dirty to him. You've had one previous sexual partner, and he was quiet. And this guy's saying funky stuff to you during sex, like what?
Not really like funky, like out of the world things, but just like, oh, you like that? Tell me how it feels, you know, stuff like that. And I can't say anything back, like not even like yes. And like I want to still, like I've been wanting to, but now that I haven't for so long, I feel like it would be like really more awkward if I started all of a sudden.
It would not be awkward, first of all. You would probably make him happy if you said something.
I know that, but I still can't make myself. Like I know that he wants me to, and I know that I want to.
Do you guys talk? Do you guys chat about this when you're not sort of in the throes of things?
Well, I mean, he's asked me if I like it when he talks to me, and I say yeah, but that's about as far
as. Is that true?
Yeah, I love it.
Do you like that he talks to you?
Yeah.
And are you in any kind of a fugue state or something where you have difficulty talking? I mean, you actually biologically have trouble talking?
I don't like public speaking, but I've never had like social.
No, I mean with him. When you're in the throes of heat of battle there, is it tough for you to produce words?
Or is it just the
awkwardness of it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything to say back to him.
Have you guys ever considered practicing outside of the bedroom?
No, he's never talked dirty to me unless we're having sex.
But maybe you could sort of kind of give you some pointers or something so you know exactly what to say and don't feel so awkward searching for something.
Yeah, but that'd be even more awkward to talk to him about
well,
it.
Let's be super clear. You don't want to do this.
I do want to.
No, Liz. No. Please. You don't want to.
I really do. I'm not lying to you. I swear.
You're not. You may wish you wanted to. You may like the idea of it, but you're not willing to do anything to move in that direction. So you don't want to.
Great. Wait a second. Do you think it could have anything to do with me being insecure around him?
Yeah, I'm sure it's very funky and awkward, and it's certainly territory you've never been in before, and you don't know how to do it. But when somebody says something to you, you know, offering advice like, "Have you ever tried?" No. I'm not going to do that. It's like, forget it. I'm not even going to consider it. I'm not going to talk about it. Okay, fine. That's fine. Then don't do it. But if you're going to get to the place where you can, you're going to have to practice it, figure it out, work with him on it, and not, you know, you don't go up to the plate in Dodger Stadium just at game time. You got to have batting practice, and you got to sort of learn to swing the bat.
I don't like practice.
Right. But you're going to have to sort of, but you're not going to just in the game. You're going to have to sort of swing it a couple times outside of the, you know, on the practice field a couple times just to see, what it feels like and you start to feel more comfortable with it. And it's something that you don't do naturally. It's something you're going to have to learn to do a little bit. And with him, hopefully, and he can bring you along. But you're going to have to ask him to help you out with that. I think he'll be fine. He will be fine. It's all going on in you. He will be fine. He'll be delighted to help you. And if you don't want to, if you really, you know, if you like the idea of it but don't really want to, admit that to yourself and go ahead and don't do it. That's fine, too. Eric.
Hello?
Hey, Eric, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I was having a question. My fiance gets frequent urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious if oral sex can contribute to that as well as I'm uncircumcised. So, and I know
you're being uncircumcised has absolutely nothing to do with
it.
The oral sex can, in some women, be an issue because, again, you're putting pressure on the urethra or in that area, and it's just anything that puts pressure on the urethra, pushing bacteria up into the bladder, that causes that.
Okay.
And some women are more prone to it than others. Some women have to take antibiotics every time they have sex.
That's her doctor did give her antibiotics afterwards, mm-hmm. but so mm-hmm. that should, if we have oral sex, and that should prevent it if she takes them afterwards?
After sex, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And also, sometimes when we have sex, she bleeds afterwards. I heard the mm-hmm. call before, but she'll have like, it'll be for like 3 days afterwards.
Yeah. Is she on the pill?
She is on the pill.
That's what happens to people on the pill. Their lining of the uterus is a little less stable than it would be normally.
Okay.
And sex can stimulate bleeding, more significant bleeding. It's called mid-cycle bleeding. Okay?
Yeah. Is there any pills that are better for that?
Yeah, there are, but it may not. You know, you're always trading side effects with the birth control pill. Easier bleeding, vaginal dryness, weight gain, breast tenderness, irritability. All these things are sort of, you got to find something that gives you the most tolerable side effects with, you know, least trouble.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to, this looks interesting. This is Jessica. What's happening there, Jessica?
Hi. When I have sex with my boyfriend, I found out that he was videotaping me, and he said that if I refused to have sex, that he would show his family and friends, and I do not know what to do.
Wow. What an a-hole.
Tell me about it. And I'm scared that if I break up with him, that he'll show people, so I don't know what to do. I don't love him anymore either, so.
So you want to break up.
Yeah, but
how did you find out he was videotaping?
I told him one night because I wasn't feeling really good, and I told him I did not want to have sex, and he's all like, okay, well, just so you know, I was videotaping you, and if you refuse to, I will show. And I was all like, show what? He's like, I'll show the tape. And I was like, oh, my God, you taped? And he's like, yep, I taped a couple times. And I was like, what?
Well,
why didn't you? And so,
I think you can first contact the police. And file a report and then let him know you've done that.
Okay.
And then if he shows it anywhere, you'll press charges.
Okay.
Two, do you have a older brother or anything?
No, I don't.
Do you have anybody who's, big friends? You got to get that tape.
Okay. I'll get the tape. My best friends are his best friends, so I probably...
You got to get that tape, and you got to make clear to him that you're going to take legal action. You want the tape too, because you're going to take legal action against him. And you're out of here. This guy's a colossal idiot.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Can you talk to my friend? My friend wants to talk to you. She has a couple questions.
All right. What's her name?
Her name is Mapassion.
Mapassion?
Yeah, it's a unique name. So she wants to talk to you.
No kidding.
Okay. Yeah. So here she is.
Yes.
Yeah. Every time I have sex with my boyfriend, I picture having sex with other girls, and I don't know if that makes me lesbian or not.
What kind of name is Mapassion?
I don't know.
Where'd they come up? Were they hippies, your parents?
Uh-huh, yeah, they were.
They were hippies. So who knows where they came up with that name. They were high one night and thought of it. All right, Jessica, that kind of thing is not uncommon. It doesn't mean you're gay. It doesn't mean you want to have sex with women. It's just some women sort of feel more sexual and sort of more aroused by images of women and thoughts of women, even though they want to be with a male. And so they go through phases, or maybe all the time be thinking that way. A lot of women like watching girl and girl porn more than male female porn.
Okay.
It doesn't mean anything. Okay?
Okay, good.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Good. Just checking. Aaron.
Yep.
Tell me about this.
Okay, so every time I have anal sex with my girlfriend, her bowels, I don't want to say it on the air, but it, releases all over me.
Releases?
Yeah, well, right after.
Releases
I don't know
right...
if that's normal or not.
You mean when you pull out, something comes with it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good times.
A lot.
That's nice. I'm sure she's loving the fact that you're talking about it on the radio, too. Why are you guys both into this act?
I don't know. We just do it sometimes for fun.
Can you turn your radio off, please?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you think would be just to test your imaginative skills, what do you think would be a way to sort of avoid that from happening?
I don't know. She could maybe go to the bathroom before.
Okay. That's one way. How could we even clean that out a little bit more, perhaps?
I don't know.
There are things called enemas, Aaron. You seem to know a lot about the anal region, yet you don't know about this, which is just a little thing. You know, Fleets makes a product. You just squirt that in. That cleans out the ampulla and could prevent future accidents from occurring. Will.
True, you're the man.
Okay. Dude, what's happening?
Hey, my girlfriend, after orgasm, instantly goes into these body spasms. She says they're related to her heart. She has this special thing with her heart. I don't remember what it is. It's like a rhythmical thing. But
yeah.
She goes instantly into these, and sometimes they're pretty bad for about 10 minutes. And then she instantly just, like, her heart slows down to, like, 20 beats a minute. It's like, boom, and she's out.
She goes unconscious?
Well, no. I mean, when I first started dating, when we first started having sex, I was scared, you know? I'd, like, put my ear to her chest. She would just be kind of, out. And she just feels really bad about it, and, you know.
Hold on. Whoa. Let's see what you're describing. She at the conclusion, after an orgasm, mm-hmm. she would have a rapid pulse?
Yeah, it's her heart. You can, like, I've put my ear up to her chest afterwards, and it's kind of like her heart goes, like, kind of berserk. Like, it just, like, goes, like, these different beats, and her body goes with the beats, like the spasm.
But is it pop 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 pop, or is it pop 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 pop?
Yeah, it's very
it's irregular.
Yeah.
Is it this? I was going to bore everybody to death. But is it irregular or irregularly irregular? In other words, is it pop 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 pop, or is it pop 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 pop?
No.
Can you tell?
Yeah, it's like internet. It's like pop 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 pop.
Okay, so that's normal. Those are just premature contractions. Those are normal, and her heart rate should be up in the 120 range after an orgasm, and she just having what's called parasystoles or nothing.
Okay,
means nothing, and they can make her jolt. With each of those, you can have a pretty good sort of jump with that, because it can feel a little bit like getting punched in the chest a little bit. Some people.
Okay, so it's totally. I mean, just not like.
That's why I'm sure she's seen cardiologists, and I'm sure they've told her not to worry about it.
Okay.
Right? If she hasn't, she should, just to make sure that is what I think it is. Jesse.
Hey.
Hey.
My boyfriend has his penis pierced, and we've just, like, recently started having sex again, and mm-hmm.
Again? What do you mean? What do you mean again? Well, oh, since the piercing?
Yeah.
Nice. What kind of piercing did he get?
It's, like, vertically through the head of his penis.
Oh, my God.
And so I noticed that I'm really swollen the next day. Like, I can't even fit one of my fingers inside of myself.
Oh, my God. Why don't you make him wear a condom?
Well, because condoms get kind of twisted up with the piercing, and that just causes problems for him.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Well, here's another more evidence these piercings are just worthless when it comes to the sexual act. Mm-hmm. It's just tearing you up on the inside.
You think?
Yeah, well, I don't have to use my imagination to think to conclude that.
Mm-hmm.
Either that, or you're just getting rust inside, which I don't think is happening.
Yeah.
No. Is there any chance you're getting an STD of any type?
I don't believe so.
Because that's the other thing. If there's something else, like a bacteria or infection or something causing inflammation, the lining of the vagina. But pretty clearly, this is just the hardware sitting there tearing you up. Amber.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I have a problem with, like, masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, it's weird. I just feel, like, really bad and, like, dirty, and I don't want to do it. And, like, all my, like, boyfriends, they, like, want me to do it during sex.
All your boyfriends? What does that mean?
Like, well, I have my last boyfriend.
Okay, all my
boyfriends. We just broke up, but.
Okay, well, good. It's over with then. Don't worry about it. What's the problem?
Well, because I have a problem with being alone, and then when I'm alone and I can't masturbate, and I get, like, really horny.
A lot of women do not feel sexual when they're alone. They can't feel aroused unless there's an interpersonal contact associated with it. And so the whole act of masturbation sort of doesn't make sense outside of an interpersonal context. So even though you're horny, you need to release, you have to be with another person for it to be satisfying. Mm-hmm. And you may just be one of those people.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Is there any way, like, you can get over, like, the...
Yeah, some people learn to sort of do it on their own and feel good about it or feel sort of satisfied by it, by fooling, you know. Most of the women that I've talked to that are sort of in your category that learn some independence do it with the shower heads and the water spigots from the bathtub, that kind of thing. They use water force. It seems to get them through that a little bit. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Loveline. Loveline, we'll be right back.
All right, We got a few more minutes of Loveline to go here at the number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to start out with Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca. Hi. What's happening?
Yes. Hello?
Here you go. Yep, here you go.
My question is that when I have oral sex, or my boyfriend gives me oral sex, and I have an orgasm, if I'm too sensitive, because I want him to stop like right after, and he wants to keep on going.
No.
It becomes a little painful. Like, not painful, but it's just really uncomfortable.
That would be normal.
That's very normal? Okay.
Yes.
He makes me feel like I'm not, I don't know.
No, he must have had, did he have a previous girlfriend?
I'm sorry?
Did he have a previous girlfriend?
He's had several girlfriends.
Yeah, guys are so screwed up. They assume that whatever happened in the girl before is what's got to happen in you.
He was in prison for like 7 years, so he probably read something or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever it is, he wants to keep going, wants to give you another orgasm. It adds to his sense of male ego. But the reality is you're in that refractory period, and a lot of women, just like a lot of men, feel extremely uncomfortable during refractoriness, and you got to stop. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck. This is Ashley.
Hi. This guy that I've known for a couple of years, we're very good friends. I was interested in being in a relationship with him, but he has had some problems, especially with his dad. His dad used to physically abuse him when he was younger, and as he got older, he wanted to save his virginity for marriage, but his dad didn't want that for him, and so he brought home a prostitute for him once, and I was just wondering what kind of effect would that have on him in terms of being in a relationship with someone?
Well, it's not as though you can... Where was mom, by the way?
I don't know. But she was there too, and I know they had a close relationship.
Well, I don't. It's not so much the hooker that's going to be the issue, but the abusive dad that thinks it's a good idea to do that to his son, particularly when it flies in the face of the son's personal values.
Mm-hmm.
Just being the victim of abuse can definitely affect your ability to sustain close relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more the issue. It's a bizarre sort of sort of situation, and God knows it may have specific manifestations in him, but I can't say it's going to have. I can't predict what those will be. Okay.
Okay. Thank
why you. Do you want to? Why do you want to be with this guy?
I don't know. He's a good guy, and I care a lot about him. We've been close friends for a while.
He sounds like a project. I think friendship might be a little safer territory for him, because it's going to be hard for him to be in a real relationship, an intimate relationship.
Yeah, and I just wanted to know, what would be the best thing for me as a friend to do?
Just be there. The friend's job is to just be present and to appreciate what they're going to and listen carefully, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, talk to you soon. This is Trevor.
Hey.
What's on, Trevor?
How's it going?
We're good.
Hey, I just had a quick question. I'm getting married in a month, and both me and my fiance are still virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious if there's anything I can do or practice or whatever to be better for our first time type thing, because, you know, we've heard all the horror stories, how it's just awful, whatever. So just to avoid that.
To avoid that, just spend lots of time, don't have high expectations, get through that first time and go on to your second time. spend a few days in the bedroom in your honeymoon, and don't put a lot of heat on that first time. The fact that you're so interested in, you know, doing penile exercises or whatever it is you think you're going to be able to do, tantric exercises to be able to improve the first time, that's the problem right there. Take the heat off that first time. Just enjoy being together and don't worry about it being some amazing experience. The amazing experience is the relationship and what follows. Liz.
Hi. My boyfriend has this thing where he likes to drip, like, hot foods on my before he goes down on me.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, it is. But, like...
Well, why do you let him do that, then?
Because he said it really, really turns him on.
Yeah, because he fantasizes that it does something good for you, I suspect. Although Gil and I here were reading about food fetishes. Believe it or not, there's a whole... What website were you on there? It's found some website that listed hundreds of different kinds of fetishes, of which one of them was food. And maybe he has a food fetish, but if I know guys, mostly they're convinced that what they're doing is going to somehow be spectacular for you, and they won't take no for an answer. Oh, that, or that hurts, or that's uncomfortable.
Well, like, we talked about it. I was like, I only do this for you. And he's like, oh, and I thank you. Like, he really likes it. And, like, I was just wondering, like, if there are any long-term effects, like, if I would lose, like, feeling, because, like, then, like, we'll use vibrators, and I heard that, like, it makes your orgasm, like, less or something like that.
Yeah, vibrators, you can desensitize. You can become desensitized or dependent on them to some extent.
But that's with, like, the hot
food. Well, hang on. For the vibrators, that's usually reversible. With the hot food, it depends how badly you burn yourself. If you don't burn yourself, that really shouldn't be a big deal. But you can damage yourself by burning, sure.
Oh, so.
Right?
Okay.
These are not indestructible body parts, ladies and gentlemen. These things are made of tissue, blood and guts. They're real human body parts. Stacy.
Hello?
Hey there.
Oh, hi. I just want to say I love your show.
Thanks, Stacey. What's happening?
All that good stuff like everyone else does, but yeah, I don't know where to begin on this. I'm schizoaffective.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of have weird, I have two questions. I have weird tendencies, like I'm kind of masochist. And the main thing is I won't let, like, guys or anyone let me orgasm.
How come?
Has anything to do with my past or...
Well, how come you won't let them? What's your sort of thinking on that?
Well, I don't know. Tell the truth, I think the main reason is because, like, I have a really loud voice and I scream and I'm afraid, like, someone will think I'm dying or someone's trying to kill me.
Well, why don't you work with your boyfriend about that and maybe you can find a place or a way to make that not heard by other people so that you can get over that.
My boyfriend, that's the main thing. My ex-boyfriend is kind of pissed at me.
Stacy, like, don't move around, Stacy. Your phone is a horrible connection. Can you just stand still and say that again?
Well, my boyfriend, and we have double out. Yeah, I'm staying still. Should I just switch phones?
Please, that would be kind of you. Oh, my goodness. The fact that she could have another phone, that's more manifestation of her schizoaffective disorder than her lack of orgasm. My gosh. Okay. Stacey, you want to finish that?
Hello?
Go ahead. Much better. Finish that statement.
Yeah, I was afraid, like, my ex-boyfriend's really mad. I think my ex-boyfriend's mad at me because, like, I was like, I don't know. It's just like... I'm sorry, I'm just nervous. It's like he was afraid. I mean, I was afraid he'd rape me.
Mm.
One day I was just having a really bad day, and I told him, like, I was afraid it would happen to me again.
All right. Like, it sounds like you harbor all kinds of irrational fear, Stacy. Are you on medication right now?
Yeah, Vexer.
Are you taking it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's 300 milligrams or 150. Okay.
You're one of these people that would respond really well to kinds of cognitive behavioral therapies, things like that, that sort of evaluate your thinking because your thinking is disturbed from the schizoaffective disorder. And maybe just, you know, sort of having somebody there sort of working with your thinking about your feelings, what you're thinking about other people, maybe they can kind of make you change that a little bit. It's Loveline. Dr. Drew, be right back.
All right, guys, here's the deal. Looking to hook up? Call the Dateline. Sick of wasting time with the wrong person? Call the Dateline. One call's all you need to make. Call the Dateline. 1-877-889-DATE.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
That's about it for Loveline, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for participating tonight. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Guest tomorrow will be Under Oath, followed the next night, next show, by the guest Muse. We have Rainn Wilson. He plays Dwayne on The Office, my favorite shows. He and Jenna Fisher, who plays Pam Beasley. Those are my two favorite guests from that show. Got Adrian Curry and Christopher Knight, Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild. That'll be interesting. And then Angels and Airwaves. That's the next week lineup. So please stay tuned until that time. This is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.